Good morning. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to worship at Providence Presbyterian Church. You will note that there are a few new things in our Palm Sunday worship if you've been here with us before on Palm Sunday. We invite you all to take time to fill in the friendship pads that you'll find at the inside aisle with your names so that you may greet one another by name following the worship service. And we warmly welcome those who may be visiting with us for the first time as we enter into this holy season of Holy Week. Please take time to join us for a time of fellowship in the Hope Room immediately behind the sanctuary after we worship together here, where you will find either Jill Moles or Dorothea Lusignan to take orders for Easter flowers as we prepare to decorate the sanctuary next Sunday. In your bulletin is a complete listing of our worship services and activities for this Holy Week, so please take note of it, including all of the details that you will find, which is one major one with regard to Easter Sunday. There is no Sunday school for any age on Easter Sunday. I repeat, no Sunday school for any age on Easter Sunday. We will be worshiping together here in the sanctuary with families, and the downstairs will be available for people to use if their children need to escape the service. You will be able to take them yourselves downstairs on Easter Sunday as needed. And the family room will be available for ages 3 and under as usual. There are services on Monday, Thursday with communion. There's a tenebrae service on Good Friday. There's our Easter egg hunt on Saturday morning and egg dyeing. Many ways for you to connect to this community. Jenny, I think, will be here to give an announcement about the One Great Hour of Sharing.
You will notice in your pews that there are special dedication envelopes for One Great Hour of Sharing. Just to remind you that the money that we collect during One Great Hour of Sharing is a special offering that we do every year. And it goes to Presbyterian Disaster Assistance. It goes to, let me just make sure I have this correct on the back of the envelope. The Presbyterian Hunger Program, and Self-Development of People, which are all really integral parts of the work that the Presbyterian Church does. So please use these envelopes to give generously. We'll be making our dedication to One Great Hour Sharing next Sunday on Easter. Thank you.
Any other announcements this morning? Sally has an announcement.
If you are a godly player, or if you are a wee believer, Saturday morning is a really important time for you. And if you are a teenager, we really need your help.
Or a college student.
Oh, let me not forget the college students who help us all the time. The Easter egg hunt is just fun. If you come with a dozen hard-boiled eggs, you get to dye them all. We have lots of stickers and crafts. And it is just going to be a really fun time until that magic hour of 11 o'clock when you get to go out and find the eggs that have been hidden. And after you come back, you get jelly beans for all the eggs of particular colors. And then there's going to be this awesome story that Gina will tell you about Holy Week, and it'll just be fun. So be sure to come, because it won't be fun if you don't come.
Thank you.
This is the last week that you have to pick up Easter cards. They have gone really rapidly. So if you really want one, even one to frame, better make haste to get one. Also, we're reserving a few for people who have contributed to make this project possible. Please pick up your complimentary card, too. Thank you.
All right, it's that time of year again. It's the Boy Scouts annual fundraiser, the world's greatest pancake breakfast. It's an all-you-can-eat pancake breakfast. It is May 3rd, Saturday, May 3rd. There will be all kinds of food, pancakes, omelets, bacon, sausage, anything, you name it. It is the annual fundraiser for the Scouts, so it is our way of making money for the troops so we can send kids on these camping trips throughout the year. We will probably be selling tickets after the service, coffee hour. It is $20 for a family ticket of any size and $7 for an individual ticket. So it's all you can eat.
Let us worship God.
When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna, Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus of from Nazareth in Galilee." Let us sing together the hymn of Palm Procession number 88, All Glory, Laud, and Honor.
Please join with me in the responsive call to worship. Cry out, people of faith, rejoice and praise God.
Hosanna. we did not sing praise, the very stones would cry out. Cry out, people of faith, for your Savior draws near to Jerusalem. Hosanna, God saves. Blessed is the one who comes in God's name. Blessed is Jesus Christ, who did not turn back for fear of the cross. Let us praise the God who loves us, sharing Christ's sufferings and facing with courage our path of faith. Hosanna, God saves. Blessed is the one who comes in God's name. Let us confess before God our tendency, like the Jerusalem crowds, to profess our faith in moments of enthusiasm and deny our faith in moments of stress. We come humbly before you to confess our sins. We continue in prayer together. God of all times and places, we confess that we would rather join the crowds than stand alone. We prefer the popular point of view to that of a solitary witness for truth and justice. We like safety and security while shrinking from the risk of involvement. We'll sing Hosanna when everyone else is doing it, but not when the hostile Good Friday forces may hear us. We believe Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners.
We know that means us, not just other folk involved in obvious evils. We ask you to be patient with us, to help us to understand our own guilt. Pour out your forgiveness in such a way that we are forever transformed. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing together our song of confession, Jesus, Remember Me, number 599 in the Presbyterian hymnal. God is patient and kind, slow to anger, and abundant in mercy. In Christ is the forgiveness of all our sin. Friends, believe this good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you.
This is the time during which we bring our joys and concerns to share with our church family. I have a joy to share today. I bought a house this week in Pawtucket, and I've been trying for a year to move here, so now I'm here. Or I will be eventually. Other announcements, joys, concerns to share.
Walter's 90th birthday is tomorrow, and we had a wonderful day yesterday. All his kids and I presented him with a surprise brunch. He has 8 children, all from Florida on up to Rhode Island. Grandkids there, great grandkids, friends, cousins. It was wonderful.
Thursday was my dad's birthday.
Oh. Happy birthday, Dad.
I would just ask prayers for my grandparents. They are traveling back up from Florida, so they're driving from Florida to Western New York next weekend. My grandpa thinks there's not going to be any traffic on Easter, but just prayers for safe travel.
My house is sold anyway. And I'm moving to Pawtucket.
That's my joy. And I have a lot to say too.
I want to thank God and thank everyone who prayed for my son. He returned home. He's still on a lot of medication, but he's coming along one day at a time. And I really thank God with all my heart.
I'd like to ask prayers for my friend Becky. She was just diagnosed with Addison's disease, and before the doctors figured out what was going on, her symptoms got bad enough that she ended up in the ICU for a few days. So she's home back with her husband and her daughter now, but making a very slow recovery.
I'd like to say a big thanks for my sister's safe travel here from New Mexico, and she'll probably take me off in the corner and use the palmist, which is, today is her 70th birthday, and we're celebrating with a family brunch, which will be great. And I had such a good time being 80 last year. On Wednesday, I decided I would be 80 again.
We want to take this opportunity to thank the church and the PPC community. Yesterday we had a Hosanna moment, and it couldn't have happened without your prayers, and we really want to thank you so much as we go to the fun part of parenting now. You will not be hearing from us a lot, but we really want to thank everybody because of your prayerful support that we really have felt ministered here at PPC. God bless you. Thank you.
I've had prayers for my stepson, Jake, who was recently diagnosed with Addison's.
Today is Eden's birthday. She's turning 12.
Happy birthday.
I want to say thank you, Jesus, because I'm here for my grandson.
Nobody? Thank everybody who came to help me to move. I'm not going to Florida or Miami. I'm in Pawtucket. It's just like 2 miles from where I used to live. Thank this big man, Lee, Dan Blackford, Pastor Chris, I thank you all. Brooks and his friend, they are all helpful. Anybody who, didn't come and call me that they want to come. I thank all of you. And I'm still in Ruala. And PPC. Thank you all.
Are you done with the move, or do you still need help? Nick, let us pray. We are ever eager, O God, to come and celebrate with crowds in procession, for we yearn for a savior of all our ills and the ills of a world in turmoil and distress. And into this very world you came. We cannot but live on this side of Easter, we know, and yet you call us to come openly and honestly before you with our whole selves and to pray on behalf of others and for our world. We give you great thanks this day for prayers answered so amazingly and for your strength to lead forth out of those prayers of joy. We thank you for opportunities to celebrate with loved ones for Walter's 90th birthday, as he has been through so much. We thank you for Bee's new house and the opportunity to be closer. We thank you for news of good test results for my mother, for reunions with people set on a new and more healthy path, for Matt's birthday Thursday, for Eden's birthday, for Lorna and CJ's birthday, for the presence of Denise's grandson with us in worship this day. We give you great thanks. We thank you for the joy of being together with the Muchiri family to celebrate their new family constellation as they go forth into new arenas of service and faith. We pray, O Lord, this day for those who continue in difficult circumstances, for those who grieve in these days, for Gus Lee and the loss of his grandfather, and as the family gathers tomorrow for services. We pray for those in the swirl of transition of their lives and for all those who minister with them, for our deacons in training this afternoon, and we thank you for the gift of their time, their presence, their coordination with so many. We pray for those who are traveling near and far this week, for Veen's father Faraj coming from Iraq. For Nicholas, we give thanks for the help that he has received in this transition to a new apartment, in the sale of his house, and the goodbye to his home with Terry. We pray continually for those who continue to seek new jobs and opportunities for financial security. We thank you and pray for Jenny's grandparents as they travel north in this week, for Lorna's presence with us in worship this day. We continue to lift to you those who are named and unnamed in our congregation and in our lives who are ill in body, mind, and spirit. Keep them safe in your ways and bring healing as only you are ultimately able, this and the other side of death. We pray for Kojo, for Cheryl's brother Jim in this final time in hospice. We pray in thanksgiving for Donald's return home and for his continued healing with his family. We pray for Becky and Jake in their diagnoses. We pray, O Lord, as well for our world, that it might be and be a place where we help to bring justice and peace and healing to all your people. We lift to you those places that are in the midst of violence and war. Guide us, we pray, into this holy week that we might encounter Jesus in new ways and deepen our walk with him at the center of our lives.
Help us to pray the simple and yet complete prayer that he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We have a special children's moment today because they are going to give us a message through their song. As the children go down to their Sunday school classes, they should grab some palms to take with them. I believe they're going to have another parade downstairs. So kids, grab your palms to go with you.
Good morning. As we open our Bibles and read the scripture today, let us be aware that the Lord is indeed speaking to us. The epistle reading is Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now we have a special passion narrative by several people in the congregation and Pastor B.
Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests.
What will you give me if I betray him to you?
They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment he began to look for an opportunity to betray Jesus. On the first day of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying,
"Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?"
"Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'"
So the disciples did as he directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and they prepared the Passover meal.
Truly,
and while they were eating, Jesus said,
"Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me."
And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him, one after another,
"Surely not I, Lord."
"Not I."
"No, surely not I."
And Jesus answered,
"The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born."
Even Judas, who betrayed him, said,
"Surely not I, Rabbi."
"You have said so."
While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples.
"Take, eat. This is my body."
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them.
"Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
"You will all become deserters because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee."
"Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you."
"Truly I tell you, Peter, this very night before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times.
"Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you."
So said all the disciples. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I go over there and pray."
Jesus took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them,
"I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me."
And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed,
"My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want."
When he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, he said to Peter,
"So, could you not stay awake with me this 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Jesus went away for the 2nd time and prayed,
"My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done."
Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the 3rd time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." At once Judas came up to Jesus and said,
"Greetings, Rabbi."
And Judas kissed him.
"Friend, do what you are here to do."
Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Jesus said to him,
"Hold it, put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen in this way?"
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds,
"Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this has taken place, so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled."
Then all of the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now, the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "The high priest stood up and said, 'Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?' But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him, 'I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God.'
'You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven.'
Then the high priest tore his clothes and said,
'He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?'
He deserved death."
Then they spat in his face and struck him. And some slapped him, saying,
"Prophesy to us, you Messiah. What is it that struck you?"
Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came up to him and said,
"You also were with Jesus the Galilean."
"I did not know what you're talking about."
When Peter went out to the porch, another servant saw him and said to the bystanders,
"This man was Jesus of Nazareth."
Again, he denied it with an oath.
"I did not know the man."
After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter,
"Certainly you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you."
Then Peter began to curse, and he swore an oath,
"I do not know the man."
At that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. He said,
"I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.
What is that to us? See to it yourself."
Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, Judas departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priest, taking the pieces of silver, said,
"It is not lawful to put them into treasury, since they are blood money."
After conferring together, they used them to buy the potter's field as a place to bury foreigners. For this reason, that field has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. And they took 30 pieces of silver, the price of one on whom a price had been set, on whom some of the people of Israel had set a price, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
"You say so."
But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him,
"Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?"
But he gave them no answer, not even a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now, at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them,
"Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?"
For Pilate realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him,
"Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him."
Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. Then the governor said to them,
"Which of the two do you want me to release for you?"
"Barabbas." "Give us Barabbas."
"Then what should I do with Jesus who is called the Messiah?"
"Let him be crucified."
"Why? What evil has he done?"
"Crucify him."
"Let him be crucified."
Crucify him.
"Crucify him."
"Crucify him."
So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying,
"I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves."
Then the people as a whole answered,
"His blood be on us and on our children."
So Pilate released Barabbas to them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around them. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying,
Hail, King of the Jews.
They spat on him, and they took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry the cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying,
"You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross."
In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and the elders, were mocking him, saying,
"He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he wants to, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'"
The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried with a loud voice,
"Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?"
That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, They said,
"This man is calling for Elijah."
At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said,
"Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him."
Then Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said,
"Truly, this man was God's son."
Many women were there also, looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said,
"Sir, we remember what that impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people he has been raised from the dead, and the last deception would be worse than the first."
Pilate said to them,
"You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can."
So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone.
Please stand and join me in our affirmation of faith, the traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Gina Bay will now give us a moment for mission as chair of the PMC.
Good morning. I have an update from the PNC. I know many of you have been anxious to know what we've been doing besides having lunch upstairs in the couch's room. I just wanted to let you all know that we are the pastor nominating committee of 9 members. The members are Jonick Foster, and if you are here, please stand so people can see you. Beatrice Conover, Phil Chan, Eddie Ajuman, Lee Vanderbon, Letitia Tete, Dan Varen, and the Reverend Dannenfelter, who I don't believe is here today, but he is our Committee on Ministry liaison with the Presbytery for this committee. The PNC began meeting at the end of January, and we have met 8 times despite several setbacks due to weather and rescheduling. But during that time, we have been working very hard to complete the ministry information form, which is a 10-page document that includes a brief position description of the characteristics and attributes that we would be looking for in a pastor seeking a call, as well as the mission and vision statements of our congregation. We've also, in the meantime, spoken with another co-pastor in the presbytery to get another perspective on how this co-pastor model works in other churches. We are in the final stages of completing this ministry information form. We will be finalizing this document hopefully by the end of this week. And the next step will be to send it to session for approval at their next meeting. After it is approved by the session, it will go on to the Committee on Ministry and for their approval as well. Once it's approved by the Committee on Ministry, it will then be entered online, and this ministry information form then is put in a search database where it is matched with pastor information forms, which are sort of like pastors seeking call, their resumes. From there, once we get matched, and at that point, other pastors seeking calls can view our ministry information forms and also do a self-referral. We will then be reviewing all of the pastor information forms and narrowing down our candidate search from there. So that is sort of to give you an idea of where we are in the process, what our next steps include, and wanted to let you know that if you have any questions, please feel free to ask any one of us on the committee. And I did want to end with just a brief note. That's something I like to remind our committee and just to let everyone know what it is to be in the search process. There is a document that is given by the presbytery that starts off by saying there's a question: isn't the pastoral call process just church language for a personal church? And the answer is no. The pastoral call process is guided by Jesus Christ, the head of the church, who provides you with all that you need to be the church. So in that sense, the pastoral call process is not simply a hiring of a new employee for the church, as would be done in a secular workplace, but but it would be the participating in God's own choice for the church by opening up ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit, who will guide, nudge, empower, inspire, comfort, and inform us in our journey towards finding new pastoral leadership. So I invite you all to please continue to pray for us as we continue in this journey of discernment as well. Thank you.
This time in the service, we come forward with our tithes and offerings for Jesus.
Thank you.
Dear Jesus, as we stand before you with our tithes and offerings, help us, Lord, to walk with you this dark week and get through Good Friday, and help us understand what you went through to give us eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Go into this Holy Week remembering that Christ suffered and died for us, and that Easter is about his death and his resurrection. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ go with you through this week. And may you know Christ's peace. Amen.